can manipulate it, and you seem to be one of them. Apparently, that makes you unique in this galaxy, Nawali. Nawali? How did he know her real name? Standing in the center of this dark room, surrounded by aliens, she suddenly felt very unsure of herself. Not knowing their true intentions was torture. But, then again, she'd just spent countless days, weeks, months, locked in a medical prison with no hope for her future. So, she could handle this. "You seem to know a lot more about this ability than I do," Noah replied, holding her head up. She returned the general's even stare, a wry smile tugging at her mouth, as she pointed at her shaved head and the scar running down her scalp. Fear deserted her. What could they do to her that hadn't already been done? "As you probably already know, I didn't ask for this. My life as I knew it was taken from me." The Cordolian inclined his head, his eyes narrowing. Noah felt as if he were sizing up pieces on a chessboard, planning his next move. He gave nothing away. After a moment of consideration, he turned away and spoke to some unseen person in the background. A strange presence touched the edges of her mind. Whoever was doing this was subtle, in contrast with the dark, relentless force she'd felt from that other one, that demon. Unlike her previous attacker, she didn't sense any bad intentions from this presence. Noah stared, but beyond the small radius of blue light, she couldn't make out anything.
"You might see your ability as a curse now, but I am told that is because you have no idea how to control it," General Tarak said, directing his attention back towards her.
Hope and trepidation flared in Noah's chest in equal amounts. Perhaps these formidable aliens could help her learn to control her terrifying ability.
"Believe me, if I could control it, I would. But right now, the thoughts and the visions that enter my mind are totally random. It's driving me insane."
"With time, you will go mad," he agreed, his tone infuriatingly nonchalant. "Unless you learn the basic techniques used by the Silent Ones. The Patra can provide you with the necessary training."
Noah's expression became resigned. She had no idea what a Silent One was, but clearly the Cordolians had people who were like her. Telepaths, or psychics, or whatever they were. The general was offering her timely salvation. Here it was, the crux of the matter. Nothing in the universe was given freely. Noah sighed.
"I suppose I should ask you the obvious, then. What can I possibly offer you in return?"
Not for one second did she possibly think that this dark, powerful creature might have altruistic intentions at heart. From what she'd heard about Cordolians, that wasn't likely at all.
"Your power," he said simply.
And Noah wondered if she were about to enter into a deal with the devil.
"My power?"
She blinked.
"Yes."
Unexpectedly, the general smiled, revealing the twin points of his fangs. There was nothing warm in his smile. It was a hard, glittering smile.
"You might be of use to me, Nawali. As always, you humans never cease to surprise me."
Chapter 9.
"He's dangerous. We've already explained it to you, but I'm just reminding you not to let your guard down. Elgin will handle the fine details. Don't worry, we've set it up so that you don't actually have to come face to face with him. You'll be able to see him on the Hollow. If he starts messing with your head again, let us know straight away.
We'll knock him out.
Rickle grinned, his expression both savage and boyish. His remark elicited a snort of amusement from the heavily armed warriors flanking them. The medic, Ziara, was with them too. In contrast to the dark-garbed warriors, she wore flowing robes of pure white. Noah was grateful for her presence. Ziara had always been patient and understanding with her, even though she'd expressed frustration at failing to properly understand Noah's condition. She'd often complained that she hadn't been able to help Noah as much as she'd wanted to.
"I'm a medic, not a mystic," she used to say. "Thank the goddess you have those audio buds, and if they stop working, there's always sedation. That's all I can do, Noah. If you want me to, I'll knock you out."
A strange thrill ran through Noah as they reached the entrance of the dark building, which she'd learned was the Cordolian version of a small prison. She wasn't a thrill-seeker by any means, but part of her was curious to know what kind of being had all these fearsome Cordolians up in arms. 4 of the Cordolian warriors, accompanied by the wizened old man called Elgin, were to enter the Silent One's cell while she and Ziara watched from a separate room. The general was conspicuously absent. According to Ziara, the assassin was under a strong compulsion, and it made him harbor a strong desire to kill the general. Apparently, that was one of the effects of this so-called mind bond. Noah shook her head, trying to come to grips with the fact that yesterday she'd been a quiet nobody. She'd been overwhelmed just trying to cope with the unwanted thoughts of others as they flooded her mind. Now, the Cordolians wanted to use her power to break a freaking mind bond. And Noah had nowhere to go. Her past had been stolen from her, and her future had been erased. Everyone she knew thought she was dead, and she couldn't return to her old life like this. She was a mere shell of the person she'd been, and only the Cordolians had been able to give her refuge in the aftermath of the disaster that was SynCorp. Strangely, this part of the desert continued to be steeped in psychic silence. Out here, she wasn't bombarded with telepathic interference. The sensation of hundreds of thoughts and memories trying to crash through her flimsy barriers all at once was blissfully absent. All that was left was a weird thrumming sensation at the back of her mind. It had been there ever since she'd repelled the Silent One. It was oddly familiar, and unexpectedly reassuring. A gentle swoosh drew her attention as Rickle stepped forward. Recognizing his presence, the black wall unraveled, revealing a mysterious dark corridor. It didn't help that it was a pitch-black night. The usually clear night sky had been hidden behind rare low-lying clouds that concealed the brilliant stars. The air was humid and thick, adding to Noah's sense of anticipation. She'd been dreading this moment, but her curiosity had also gotten the better of her, because she was unable to forget the dark, magnetic presence that had tried so hard to infiltrate her mind. He'd demanded her submission, and she'd denied him, but it could have so easily gone the other way. She could have fallen under his control so easily. There was something about his power that called to her. It appealed to her tempestuous side, the part of her she thought had died after the crazies had scrambled her brains. There was a side of her that craved the darkness. In the past, she'd been prone to dark moods. She'd had a temper. She'd been arrogant and vulnerable and utterly brilliant. The old her was drawn to the darkness. The old her would probably be consumed by it. Noah shuddered. The old man called Elgin murmured something to Ziara and Cordolian as they passed into the dark corridor. It seemed to swallow them up,
plunging Noah into darkness. She was thankful for the small guide light Abby had lent her. The general's wife had grumbled comically about Cordolians and their preternatural night vision, rolling her eyes as she handed the small device to Noah. Abby always spoke of her fierce husband with gentle, loving acceptance, the occasional note of amusement finding its way into her voice. Her attitude baffled Noah, because the general was downright scary. She clutched the light tightly now, keeping close to Ziara as they walked single file down the narrow corridor. They passed through another set of unraveling doors, and then another, until they reached a small anteroom-type area. A guard emerged from the shadows, startling Noah. Like the warriors in her entourage, he was clad from neck to toe in dark armor, but his face was bare, revealing intricate swirling patterns across his cheeks. As she studied him more closely, she realized they were made up of tiny scars. He paid her no attention as he spoke with the others, in the melodic tones she'd come to recognize as Cordolian. Although his voice was soft, his words had a hard, sarcastic edge to them. His gaze flicked to the left, and Noah followed it. To one side, she saw a small room fitted out with gently glowing hollow monitors. It was eerily quiet in here. The pitch-black sloping walls seemed to absorb the sound and suck away the light. Noah felt cocooned and slightly claustrophobic as she listened to the Cordolian warriors talking amongst themselves. Comfortable in their shadowy surroundings, their silver faces and pale hair burnished by the cold glow of her guide light, they were truly creatures of darkness. There was a stillness about them. They moved with silent grace and spoke in low tones, their deep voices rising and dipping with the exotic cadences of their native tongue. So alien. So unknown. They radiated effortless power, and if they truly wanted to, they could probably colonize Earth in a heartbeat. So why hadn't they? And what had made them leave their distant galaxy for this remote part of the universe? Ziara appeared by her side, along with the elder, Elgin. He was studying her with his strangely colored eyes. His irises were as black as night. The pupils of his eyes flashed milky white, clouded by what she presumed were cataracts. His long braided hair was black at the temples, fading to dark gray at the ends, and his weathered face was etched with the lines of age.
"Listen carefully, human," he said in Cordolian, a translator node converting his speech to universal. "I'm going to tap into your mind and make use of your power. I need your strength to break the mind bond, because my power alone isn't enough. You need to open yourself up and let me in, just like you did earlier when I was teaching you how to shield your mind."
Before they'd allowed Noah to come here, she'd spent hours with Elgin, learning the basics of mental self-defense. Noah nodded. "I'm ready."
"If the Silent One tries to attack you again, just say so," Ziara reminded her. "We'll render him unconscious in a heartbeat."
"I want to see him," Noah said abruptly, surprising herself. "I want to know who I'm dealing with."
"Very well," Ziara said, gesturing towards the room with the hollow monitors. "See for yourself. He's missing a limb after his fight with the general, but we'll give him a better one if we ever decide we can trust him."
Noah was already walking towards the hollows, entranced by the prospect of finally seeing her mysterious attacker.
"Back for more, human?"
Shocked, she whirled as his voice rang out loud and clear in her mind. She tried frantically to assemble her mental shields, remembering what Elgin had taught her.
"Those won't work against me,"
he said, his tone darkly mocking.
We're bonded now.
Bonded?
Why do you think all those voices in your head suddenly disappear when you come into my radius?
I don't know. I learned how to put up barriers. A seed of doubt entered Noah's mind. Could he possibly be behind the blissful psychic silence she'd enjoyed since coming out to the desert?
One does not learn to shield effectively in such a short amount of time. Your aura is compatible with mine. When you come into my presence, everything else is overridden, even the wayward thoughts of others.
Compatible? A dark sense of anticipation welled up in her. What does that even mean?
If I live long enough, you will see.
If you live long enough? A chill ran through her. That sounds rather ominous.
They have come to try and break me and reshape me for their own purposes. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking they are doing this out of charity or kindness. Those things are not in our nature.
Noah, are you all right? Ziara's voice filtered through her consciousness, but it was all background noise to her. Her feet moved of their own volition, bringing her closer to the holo monitors. Her gaze was drawn to the scene displayed on the holo. At first, she saw only darkness, but as she moved closer, her guide light illuminating the space, she began to make out lines and shapes. And as the radius of her light touched on the faintly glowing holoscreens, the object of her fascination came into view. It was dark in his cell, but the holoscreen picked up his image in perfect detail. Noah didn't know how that worked, but she accepted it for what it was, because most Cordolian technology was beyond her comprehension anyway. As if sensing her scrutiny, he looked up, staring at her through the hollow. Noah's breath caught. He looked right through her, impossibly, defiantly, his black eyes burning darkly. The gentle tingling sensation at the back of her mind turned into a simmering, incessant pull, drawing a soft gasp from her lips. So, this was the man the Cordolians called the Silent One. According to just about everybody, he was dangerous, and as she watched him, Noah believed every warning and every dreadful tale about him and his kind. She'd been told he was an assassin, highly skilled in the art of killing and capable of almost godlike stealth. In one fluid motion, he stood and moved forward. His attention seemed to be focused solely on her, even though Noah knew he couldn't see her from inside his dark prison. His eyes were orbs of pure obsidian. Even the whites of his eyes were black, giving him a much more alien appearance than the Cordolians she'd encountered so far. His eyes were like windows to an infinite starless universe. They were both terrifying and beautiful. A faintly mocking smile graced his dark lips, and she wondered whether he had fangs like the other Cordolians. It was obvious that he was different in several ways. His skin was lighter, more platinum than silver, and his dark hair was arranged in intricate braids. Black robes concealed what looked to be a tall and powerful frame, but his left arm was clearly missing, the fabric hanging loosely over the space where his limb was supposed to be. His features were unmistakably Cordolian. He had a noble brow and elegantly curved eyebrows, but the corners of his eyes were more angled than a typical Cordolian's, accentuating the sharpness of his cheekbones. Full, sensuous lips completed the picture, but there was nothing gentle about his smile. His expression was cold, and Noah wondered if a being like this was even capable of warmth. She shivered as a mixture of fear, anticipation, and, strangely, admiration coursed through her. Because he was beautiful. His alienness was beautiful. He was a glimpse into another world, a distant place where humans didn't even exist. Noah? A gentle hand on her shoulder caused her to whirl, and she came face to face with Ciara, who regarded her with concern.
Are you sure you're ready to do this? I can tell General Tarak to give you more time.
No. This was part of understanding her power. This was a challenge she had to overcome. She'd often felt like this when she was about to add a new and difficult piece to her repertoire. It was both thrilling and terrifying. She'd felt this way when she'd started learning Rachmaninoff's notorious third concerto. She had to do this. She had to understand what this freakish ability of hers was. She had to learn how to control it. If Elgin and the Silent One held the keys to that knowledge, then so be it.
You may call me by my birth name,
he said suddenly, startling her again.
It's Ashrael.
Ha! He was locked up in a dark room with one arm severed from his body, and somehow he still managed to be haughty and arrogant.
Oh, so I have your permission to call you by your name now, do I?
She couldn't help but respond with a little bit of snark.
Yes.
His response was nothing but serious. Noah hesitated to offer her own name in return. Revealing her name to him seemed akin to giving him some sort of mystical power over her. It was silly and irrational, but she wasn't ready to hand her identity over to him. Not yet. She turned to Ciara, steeling herself. I'm ready when your people are. Ciara nodded and said something to Elgin in Cordolian. The elder raised a hand, the dark blue sleeve of his robes falling away to reveal a weathered, tattooed arm. He murmured something that sounded like an incantation, his odd-colored sightless eyes seeming to glow in the dim light.
Human, I need you to open your mind to me now, he said softly.
The translator node echoing his Cordolian speech.
I'm going to form a link and borrow your power to try and crack the mind bond. I don't really know how to explain it better than that. Just try and relax. But if the Silent One tries anything strange, put your barriers up right away, just like I taught you. Don't worry so much. I will protect you from any interference.
As she nodded, signifying her understanding, Noah quietly questioned the rationale behind breaking this so-called mind bond, especially if Ashrael was as dangerous as everyone made him out to be. She didn't understand Cordolian logic at all. She'd just become another cog in General Tarak's machine.
Are you ready, Noah?
Yeah. She closed her eyes and flexed her abnormally long fingers as if she were preparing for a performance. Nothing could scare her now. After all, she'd already been to hell and back. A weird sensation ran over her scalp, snaking down the back of her neck as Elgin began to delve into her mind, tapping into her power. It felt like thousands of velvet-footed ants were crawling over her head.
Relax, Noali. All I'm going to do is borrow your strength, but you have to give it to me. I can't just take it from you.
He spoke in Cordolian, but somehow she understood. Perhaps meaning transcended language. She could sense the elder's presence now. She didn't completely understand what he was talking about, so she clumsily tried to gather the scattered threads of energy within her. At the same time, she attempted to relax and open her mind. Suddenly, the weight of her power was lifted and carried by Elgin.
"Human, what have you done?"
His voice rang out clearly in her mind as sudden shock radiated from him.
"You have accidentally formed a psychic bond with him. Were you aware of that? You were, weren't you?"
The Elder sighed as Noah was swept into a world of strange energies and darkness.
"If he survives, that is going to be a problem."
Chapter 10.
"On your knees, Katach."
The First Division warriors filed silently into his cell, their plasma guns pointed at him. Ashrael shrugged, regarding each of them in turn. He bit his tongue, cutting off the snide remark that threatened to escape his lips. It was better if they didn't know he'd recently gained the gift of speech, although, with all their monitoring equipment, they'd probably already figured it out.
"Are you going to kneel, or am I going to have to force you?"
The one who spoke was big and gruff and formidable, just like his comrades. The general's men were all about force and intimidation. They didn't understand stealth and subtlety, but then again, they had no need for such things. Ashrael raised an eyebrow and slowly dropped to his knees, a hint of a smile gracing his lips. He didn't know what they wanted with him now, although he could guess.
"She was just beyond these impenetrable walls, along with the Elder and the medic."
He could feel them all, but her aura burned the brightest, and for some reason, it had a calming effect on him. Perhaps it was because he could feel her through their bond. Unbeknownst to the others, they'd even spoken briefly, exchanging a few words of mind speech.
"Don't tell me you and the old man are going to try and break my mind bond, human,"
he taunted, sending his kakui through the impenetrable wall. He focused and honed in on her, seeking a reaction. Her emotions were a jumble of surprise, anticipation, fear, and steely resolve. She was a strange mixture of vulnerability and strength, a tangle of contradictions wrapped up in soft human skin. Ashrael wasn't curious by nature, but he couldn't help but be intrigued. She didn't reply to his query, but her surprise radiated through their bond.
"I'm not stupid, human."
Stupid enough to get captured, but not stupid enough to be utterly oblivious.
"I know what Acadian is trying to do."
He'd heard the rumors spreading through the Empire. They said the general had gone mad, that he was a traitor to the Empire, that he'd given up everything to protect a human of all creatures. All the rumors had proven to be true, and yet, there was method to Acadian's madness. He had led the Cordolian rebels to Earth, eroding the Empire's power. Madness.
"Something funny, assassin?" One of the guards regarded him with a half-amused look. "I didn't think your sort had a sense of humor."
"There's a lot you don't know about us, soldier."
Ashrael stared him in the eye. Even though he couldn't see in the traditional sense, his second sight told him all he needed to know. The First Division warriors were all formidable in their own right, and this man was no exception.
Don't look at me like that, Katach. It might not seem like it, but we're trying to help you."
With his left hand, the warrior made the sign of the goddess, betraying his unease. Ashrael had that effect on ordinary Cordolians. They clung to pointless superstitions, and for some reason, the Kakwi freaked them out. Even this fearsome warrior, who was skilled enough to give him trouble in a fight,
wasn't immune to irrational thoughts. So, here's the drill. Patra Elgin is going to have a look inside your head. If you want to get out of here eventually, don't fight it. If you want to get rid of your mind bond, don't fight it. If you try anything stupid, especially with the human, I will shoot you. Ashrael gritted his teeth as he nodded in assent.
I doubt the old man will succeed, but he is welcome to try.
A part of him wanted to throw the warrior's challenge in his face and fight. But with opponents like these, that would be futile. He had little choice in the matter, anyway. There were 4 plasma guns pointed at his head, and the general's men didn't mess around. Besides, if he sensed the elder was trying anything funny, he'd just put his barriers up. The only one who could get past his barriers against his will was his mistress. And maybe the human, if she knew how. The alluring promise of freedom reared its insolent head, taunting him with that most futile of emotions, hope. He tried to suppress it, because hope had no place in his existence. But, like his tenuous link to the human, the feeling wouldn't disappear, no matter how hard he tried. The human, through her clumsy meddling, had already disrupted the mind bond and given him the ability to speak. How much more was she capable of?
Such raw, unrestrained power.
How much untapped potential did she possess? With a sigh, he closed his eyes and opened his mind, releasing all of his kakui at once. He allowed it to roll outwards in a wave, millions of tendrils of silent energy drifting through the walls and out to the desert beyond.
I felt that, one of the warriors murmured in the background. Gives me the creeps every time.
Ashrael ignored him, searching for the stars, the rocks, the sand, the sky. He allowed his own energy to dissipate. His kakui transcended physical barriers, merging with Earth's underlying energy. Even in this dry, arid landscape, the desert was teeming with life. Ashrael became one with his surroundings. His breathing slowed and steadied, and his mind became clear. He ceased to have a beginning and an end. Hundreds of souls in the background faded into nothingness. He was nothing. There was nothing. Except her.
How did you know how to do that, young one?
The old one, Elgin, reached out to him, shattering his consciousness. Elgin's aura radiated caution. Although he wasn't powerful, he was skilled in his use of the kakui. Perhaps he was from the Lost Tribes. There were those outside the Empire who knew how to wield the power of the universe with great skill, their knowledge passed down through generations.
Do what, old man?
There was a pause.
Never mind. Are you ready to do this, assassin? It's futile, old man.
There was bitterness in Ashrael's tone, but he opened his mind to the elder anyway, allowing him to infiltrate his kakui channels. Because a small part of him dared to hope.
Nothing that is done in the pursuit of freedom is futile, child. Although you might find this part of the process will cause you great pain, and perhaps even death. Do what you must, old man. I have no fear.
He was no stranger to death, so why should he fear its embrace? He and death had walked hand in hand his entire life. He was death's servant, a true child of Cain. An unexpected bolt of intense pain shot through him, gripping his skull as psychic power ripped through his mind. He gasped as he felt her touch underneath the old man's.
Her wild power was tempered now, guided by the Elder, who used his skill to target it, sending it into Ashrael's Kakwi channels. They were working together. She provided the power, and the Elder wielded the skill. It was an unlikely partnership, but it was crudely effective. As Elgin sent a ripple of Kakwi deeper into Ashrael's mind, the pain became worse, causing him to clench his teeth. This was the mind bond at work. It had sensed the threat, and now it was reacting.
"You will be loyal to the Empire."
The command echoed through his head, and for a moment, it was all he knew. Ashrael tried to keep his expression blank as he ground his teeth. His fangs broke through the tender skin of his lower lip, drawing bitter blood. He clenched his teeth, not wanting to show his pain in front of these warriors. The pain grew in intensity, stabbing behind his eyes, streaking down his neck and back, engulfing his arms and legs, until every nerve ending was on fire. The easiest way to escape this agony would be to put his barriers up and kick the intruders out of his mind. But he vowed to try and fight the temptation for as long as he could, because a deep part of him desperately wanted to be free of the mind bond. It was all he'd ever known until he'd set foot on this cursed planet, until some absurd twist of fate had given him a taste of something he'd never dared hope for. Freedom.
"You are in pain," Elgin said. "Shall we stop?"
"No."
He bit his lip again, trying to use the self-inflicted pain as a focal point.
"Do whatever it takes, old man. You are not yet beginning to touch the limits of my endurance. I am committed now, so do not waste my time."
He was no stranger to pain either. Why should he be afraid? Ashrael gasped as power shot through his mind. Exquisite agony claimed every fiber of his being. His instincts screamed at him to put up his barriers, but he gritted his teeth and resisted. The human's power was behind this, and it was breathtaking. It was always said that females with the talent were infinitely more powerful than males. Perhaps it was a good thing that their kind was so damn rare. Barely aware of his surroundings, he rose to his feet, only to be pushed down by several strong hands.
"Don't move, assassin."
He was forced to the floor as one of the warriors gripped his neck and pushed his knee into his back. Ashrael barely noticed. The pain was too much. The Elder channeled more power into him. Something inside his mind was being torn apart, and it was absolute torture. A full-throated cry escaped from Ashrael's throat.
"Hey, maybe he's not so silent after all."
Little by little, the Elder started to undo the damage that had been wrought upon his psyche. He was like a skilled weaver unpicking a complex tapestry, pulling out each thread one by one. And each ripped-out thread drew a terrible scream from Ashrael, because the pain was akin to fingernails being torn out. He couldn't hold on any longer. Instinctively, he began to assemble his mental shields, but pain had weakened him, and he wasn't able to slam them shut like he usually would.
"Hold on, Katach. This is for your own good."
The warrior with his hand on his neck spoke into his ear, his voice devoid of sympathy. There was no mercy or compassion here, and Ashrael hadn't expected anything less. Pain surged through his body again, and he howled, no longer caring that they would hear him. The image of his mistress entered his mind. His second sight revealed her to be a mysterious, hooded figure who never showed her face. An aura of dark power radiated from her. She was mostly cruel, but on rare occasions,
she could be kind.
You will obey me without question.
Her words rang through his mind as his mind bond continued to be torn apart. He had no love for her, and any loyalty towards her was simply enforced. The thought of killing her entered his mind, and it amplified his agony tenfold. His cheek was pressed against the cold floor, and his right arm was restrained behind his back. Usually he would fight, but the pain was becoming unbearable. As the elder and the human tore at his soul, darkness descended over his consciousness. His mind went blank. His memories ceased to exist. He didn't know his name anymore. He was falling, and if death came and took him now, it would be a small mercy. He would go willingly into the goddess's sweet embrace. The only thing anchoring him to this world was a soft, sweet sensation at the back of his mind. Her. Somehow, her presence endured through the endless storm of his agony.
Ashrael, she pleaded,
but he didn't respond, because he didn't know who that was anymore, and the thought of death was seducing him. So, he allowed himself to drift away into the slipstream of life, death, and infinity, where there was no beginning and no end. Chapter 11.
"He's dying," Noah gasped. "You have to stop it." She tried to put up her mental barriers, drawing on the techniques the old man had taught her, but she was in too deep. She could feel his life slipping away.
"We're bonded now."
Ashrael's words echoed in her mind, and she finally understood. Somehow, they'd formed a psychic link, their consciousnesses tied together by something inexplicable. The strange tingling sensation at the back of her mind wasn't a figment of her imagination. It was him. And now he was drifting away.
Follow him.
The pull was strong. It called to the darkness in her, the part of her that was foolish enough to be tempted by oblivion. She opened her eyes. Elgin was in a trance-like state, his wizened brow furrowed in concentration. In one hand, he held a polished stone, rubbing his thumb over its deep emerald surface. She glanced at the hollow and saw Ashrael pinned to the floor, Rickle and one of the other warriors holding him down. He howled and writhed, his exquisite features twisted in agony. A fragment of his pain resonated through their bond, almost sending her to her knees.
"Ashrael," she called to him, but he didn't respond.
Elgin continued to draw on her power, channeling it towards Ashrael, manipulating it in a way that was beyond her comprehension. The more power Elgin released, the more distant Ashrael started to feel, until their bond was just a fine thread, stretched to its limits. It scared her. Ashrael's painful cries filtered through the hollow, becoming weaker as Elgin continued to do his thing. Why was she afraid of losing the bond? Ashrael was the bad guy, a beautiful villain in a world of monsters. His first action upon encountering her had been to try and take over her mind and force her to do his bidding.
Bastard.
She should be eager to get rid of the bond. But the way his insolence had dissolved into tortured screams had bothered her greatly. She remembered all too well what it felt like to be entirely at the mercy of others as they tore into her mind.
"Elgin, enough," she pleaded.
The elder's eyes had taken on a glazed look. He seemed far away. Could he even hear her?
"What's wrong, Noah?"
Ziara was beside her. The medic radiated concern.
"I think we're doing some serious damage. Tell him to stop."
"Are you sure?"
"I can feel it."
Urgency made Noah's voice crack.
"He's slipping away."
She took a deep breath and closed her eyes, trying to summon her mental shields the way the Elder had taught her. It was difficult. Her heart was hammering, and her hands shook. She forced herself to become calm. And slowly, painstakingly, order was restored to her thoughts. Ziara spoke harshly to Elgin in Cordolian, but Noah was almost oblivious to their conversation. She was too focused on Ashrael's fading energy. She barely noticed as Elgin released his hold on her power. All she felt was a growing sense of emptiness.
"Wake up!"
she screamed into the void, but he wasn't listening. He wasn't there anymore. All of a sudden, the Cordolians were beside her, Ziara on her left and Elgin on her right.
"The mind bond was too powerful," Elgin said softly, his voice tinged with regret as he placed a hand on her shoulder. "I couldn't break it. Perhaps the assassin was too deeply attached."
"That's not true," Noah blurted. "He detests it. He hates being controlled." She didn't know how she knew that, but it was the truth. "We have to do something. At this rate, he'll fade away." Elgin's tone was one of calm acceptance.
"Whatever happens now is up to the goddess. I haven't encountered a case like this in my lifetime. It's beyond my skill and power to rescue him."
"No," Noah whispered. This couldn't be the end. She'd only just begun to know him. Ziara looked at her with an odd expression. Gone was the gentle-natured medic who had treated her. Her orange eyes were cold and clear, her features a blank mask. There was nothing remotely human about her.
"He was as good as dead when the general defeated him. He knew that. He also knew what would happen if we failed to break the mind bond."
"No," Noah whispered. A chill spread through her as the emptiness within her grew. She couldn't feel Ashrael's presence at all. Fragments of thoughts entered her mind. They were the unwanted thoughts of others, starting as a trickle and quickly turning into a flood. Noah gritted her teeth and tried to focus. As Ashrael's consciousness had disappeared, so the maddening psychic interference had returned.
"Why is this happening to me now?"
Her mind had been blissfully silent, but now she was tormented by the dark thoughts of four Cordolian warriors and a medic as they watched their sworn enemy fade away. "You can't let him die," Noah protested. She watched the holoscreen in growing horror as Rickle stepped away from Ashrael's motionless form.
"As I told you before, if we can't break the mind bond, there's no other option," Ziara said coldly. "That was always going to be the outcome. He's an enemy, Noah. He's been programmed to kill the general, and if we were to release him, or if he were to escape, there's a strong possibility he might succeed. The Silent Ones are implacable. They do not stop until they've killed their targets, even if it leads to their downfall. It's their greatest strength, and their ultimate curse."
"But he's a Cordolian, isn't he? He's one of your own."
"Just because we're from the same planet doesn't mean we're united. He is a slave of the Empire and our sworn enemy. He knows the rules."
Noah stared at the medic in disbelief. Sweet, caring Ziara was advocating the death of an enemy. She had to remind herself that she was amongst aliens, and she didn't really know much about them at all. A new onslaught of images and emotions filled her mind. She caught fragments of savagery, of vengeful thoughts and ruthless resolve. She sensed their outrage. After all, here was one who had threatened their general and his mate.
"Unforgivable. Look at him, poor bastard. But if the mind bond cannot be broken, death is the only option."
Their thoughts were melding together. She couldn't tell them apart anymore. Her mind was turning into an echo chamber, her concentration torn to shreds.
"Open the door to his cell," she urged, her words coming out as a hoarse whisper. "Please, Ziara."
"You can't go in there, Noah. He's dangerous."
The medic's tone was resigned. She wasn't going to let Noah pass, no matter what she said.
"He's dying. Look at him. What is he going to do to me when he's like that?"
"That's the way of the universe. We live, we fight. For better or worse, we choose sides, and eventually we die."
The indifference of these Cordolians to Ashrael's fate chilled her to the bone.
"What do you hope to achieve by going in there? Elgin can't rescue him, and you're new to all this. I won't put you at risk for his sake."
"I need to bring him back."
Noah was getting frantic now, her panic rising. It was so hard to concentrate. Her head was a jumble of confusing, disturbing thoughts. In the midst of all this chaos, all she knew was that his presence, her link to him, kept the voices at bay.
"I need him. Please, Ziara."
She didn't know what she was saying anymore. She wasn't rational anymore. Ziara gave her a long, hard look before shaking her head.
"You humans are at the root of all our irrational decisions. Impulsive, illogical, guided by your emotions."
She sighed, her lips quirking into a wry half-smile.
"And somehow you appeal to us at the basest levels."
"The voices are back," Noah whispered. "I don't understand anything anymore, but my link to him keeps me sane. Please, just let me in."
She had no idea how she might bring him back, but she had to try something, anything.
"I can't believe I'm seriously considering letting you do this."
Ziara exchanged a dubious look with Elgin.
"I doubt anyone can reach him now," the elder said. "He's become lost in the slipstream. His energy has merged with the nexus of the universe."
He narrowed his eyes as he looked at Noah.
"I underestimated your power, human. We were so close to breaking the mind bond, but the strain on him was too great. Do not fear. Your bond with him is incomplete, so you will not suffer so much once it's gone. With time, you will learn to shut out the interference on your own. Although, nothing is quite as effective as finding a Saurian."
"I don't have time," Noah protested, her voice rising an octave. At this rate, madness was close. Perhaps she was already mad. "At least let me try."
She remembered what the Soldar, Laylock, had taught her. Pain was a focal point. She remembered what she'd found out on her own. Music was a focal point. It cleared the mind of all distractions and soothed a turbulent soul. She had only her fragile mind, her bare hands, and a pair of audio buds, but she had to try something.
"Go on, then," Ziara said quietly. "See for yourself, even if it's only so you can gain closure and accept reality. I'm going to inform the warriors, then I'm going to open the door. I'll be right behind you, but none of us can guarantee your safety in the unlikely event that he wakes up. Are you sure you really want to do this?"
"I have to," was all Noah said as she headed for the door, her body moving of its own volition, almost as if it was guided by some mysterious hidden force.
Chapter 12. As Noah stumbled into the cell, her guide light shone weakly around the room, illuminating dark sloping walls that receded into nothingness. It caught the silver faces of the four warriors. They watched her with cold, flat eyes, tracking her every move. Gone was the easy banter and the reassuring sense that she was protected. They regarded her as if she were an enemy. Suddenly, the distance between humans and Cordolians felt wide and gaping. Noah was an outsider here, and for the first time, she felt it keenly. They had placed Ashrael's lifeless form in a dark pod carved into the wall. She presumed this was the Cordolian version of a bed. He lay with his arm by his side, his robes blending with the inky blackness of the pod, so that only his face and hand were visible. His chin was tilted back slightly, and in repose he looked incredibly peaceful. His pale, angular features were smooth and unearthly. They could have been carved from marble. Noah watched carefully for any signs of life. For a moment, she thought she saw his chest rise and fall ever so slightly, but she wasn't entirely sure.
Elgin warned him this might happen. He knew it all along. Death is a small mercy for a wretch like him. In the end, he sought his freedom, enduring great suffering. That is honorable, even if his life wasn't. What does this human expect to do now? Why does she even care? If he were awake, he would break her in two. Crazy, illogical, sentimental humans.
Their bleak thoughts rolled off them in waves. They thought in Cordolian, but meaning somehow transcended language, and Noah got the message loud and clear. Her conviction threatened to desert her. Doubt entered her mind. Perhaps trying to save Ashrael was a big mistake. Perhaps he was beyond saving. Noah dropped to her knees beside him, and nobody stopped to intervene. Despite the people surrounding them, Ashrael seemed so distant and alone. A sliver of sadness worked its way into Noah's heart at his predicament. This deadly creature was little more than a slave to his masters, and he was destined to die alone, surrounded by enemies. For a brief, surreal moment, they'd shared mind speech, and Noah had caught a glimpse of what lay beneath his cold, hard exterior.
"Ashrael," she said loudly, drawing glimmers of surprise from the warriors. "Snap out of it!"
"That's enough," one of them said, his voice a low growl. "He's in the hands of the goddess now. Why do you care, anyway? Can't believe we agreed to let you in here. Let's go."
Noah flinched as he moved forward. Her hand instinctively went to Ashrael's cheek, grazing his smooth, flawless skin. It was cool under her fingers, making her wonder if any life remained in him.
"Are you nuts, human? Get back!"
An armored hand dropped onto her shoulder, applying slight pressure as the warrior tried to guide her away. That's when Noah's existence changed. Her world went gloriously silent. The barrage of invasive thoughts flooding her mind stopped. The assassin sat up and gasped. His expression was terrifying. His black eyes glittered dangerously, and his fangs were bared, giving him a savage appearance. His aura roared back to life, a vortex of dark energy swirling around him. Faster than she could blink, his arm shot out, and he grabbed her by the neck. His grip was strong and unrelenting, and Noah choked in pain and shock. As he drew her towards him, the Cordolian warriors moved as one, swearing. They snarled at Ashrael, in guttural-sounding Cordolian, but the assassin didn't respond.
"Stop it!"
Her voice came out as a choked whisper.
"I'm not your enemy."
He moved like lightning, pinning her to the floor. His hard body pressed into hers, all lean muscle and sinew and unrestrained power.
"Jupiter, he's fast."
Faster than anyone she'd known. Faster than any human. Noah forced herself to go perfectly still.
She was a rabbit in the jaws of a wolf, and she instinctively knew that fighting back meant instant death.
Stop. I'm not your enemy.
His obsidian eyes widened. His fierce expression turned into a look of surprise, his face transforming from night to day.